Please be seated. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, that song is filled with these one-liners of being invested. I will put my trust in you alone. Lord, that's an investment. That's a moment of declaration, of skin in the game. And so we pray this morning that you'd help us to really think about that. Think about how we're invested in this life of faith. And what does it mean to be invested? We pray this in your holy name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Welcome again. Good to see you all. So we are at the very end of a series, a four-part series called I'm In. And it's important for you to know that when I think about Sunday after Sunday, I want to give you a healthy diet of what it looks like to live and to follow and walk in Christ. We use a triangle, it's up, in, and out, to help us reflect on what it looks like to be a balanced follower of Jesus. Up is this relationship, it's the vertical part, it's being in worship, it's being in scripture and prayer, and it's having the love relationship with Christ. And so that's what we focused on week one when I said you are invited. You are invited into this loving relationship with Christ. And Jesus receives and accepts the people that others would reject. And then the next week, we talked about the fact that you are invaluable, that we all play a part, and we're a part of this body of Christ. And that's in. That's who we are together as a family. And if there's any one thing that I would say COVID has created, probably the hardest thing for me at least, is trying to build family among college students, trying to build the ability for those of you to actually know each other and to love each other and care for each other. But that's that part that you are invaluable. You play an invaluable role in this thing we call family. And then last week we talked the fact that you are influential, that you never know how one act of kindness, one word of encouragement, one display of love can change a person's life, and that you're influential, that you're called to bring about God's purposes and glory around on your floors and in this world. So today is a day where I'm talking about invested. You are invested. It's a sermon that I do not want to preach. It's a sermon that makes me a little uncomfortable. It's a sermon that I'm pretty convinced that a lot of us just don't want to hear, but it's so important for us to understand these clear words of Scripture about what it looks like to be invested. We all know what it means to be invested. Like if I hear you say, I'm invested in this relationship, I'm invested in my school and my education. That means you have skin in the game. That means you really mean it. You're going to follow through. You want to follow through. You know that you're not just talking about it. Talk is cheap. You're actually taking the steps to make something happen. You're invested in your faith. Your faith is not something you just know. Your faith is something that you act on and you live out. And Jesus says that when it comes to being invested, be invested in the right way. Be invested in what matters. In Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, these are the words of Jesus. Don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Jesus is pointing out two things. He's talking about investment returns. Like, if I store up things that can get stolen and where moths can destroy and rust can ruin, it's not a smart thing. So it talks about investment returns. Invest in things that have an eternal purpose and value. But he also talks about what investments reveal. And this is where I'm going to spend most of my time. They reveal our heart. They reveal where our heart is. And that's really important. I think of the way we look at our investments, which would be our time, which would be our treasures, you know, what we choose to think about. It's like a mirror. And it's a helpful mirror to understand where is my heart at. And I find that when I look at myself and I'm honest, I see what I'm going to call a heart of scarcity. a scarcity heart. A scarcity heart is I look at things and I'm like, well, I could use that. I need that. Or I actually want that. And so I want things, therefore I don't have enough. But I'm on the pursuit of getting more. I don't have enough, I'm getting more. And what I do is I use my resources to get what I need. And I get what I need. And as I get what I need, I find myself that this is mine, okay? These are my clothes. This is my place where I live. It's my car. It's my time. So in a scarcity heart, I'm living a life of storing. I'm going to call it storing. I'm guarding it. I'm protecting it. I'm accumulating it. I'm keeping it. Scarcity heart is like, yeah, I could really use that. So I don't have quite enough. So I actually need more. And as I look at my own life, it's a life of fear. A scarcity heart is a life of fear. I fear that without the things I can get, I'm not going to be really satisfied until I do get. It's a heart of fear and a lack of trust. And it's an up to me kind of life. So I find that my stuff is actually a better mirror at the condition of my heart than almost anything else. So when I was in college, no one ever told me this, and I wish somebody would have told me this, because my scarcity heart was on steroids when I was in college, because I just didn't have anything. I think I was as poor, if not poorer, than you guys. And I know that you guys are on very, very limited resources, right? And here's what I had in a scarcity heart. It was a when-then kind of thing. When I have more resources, then I can be more generous, or I can at least be out from underneath the fear of not having enough. Or when-then is when I get more resources, then I'll be more satisfied. I'll be more satisfied. A when-then kind of a heart, because I just didn't have enough. I had limited resources. But I find it interesting for me back then when I always had enough. I really did. I always had enough. I always had enough to buy a pair of jeans when I needed to. I always had enough when I wanted to go on spring break. I always had enough to buy a beer when I needed to. I always had enough to to fill my car with gas when I needed to. I always had enough. Even though I was on limited income, at that point, I always had enough. And here's what I wish somebody would have helped me understand when I was in college. Because when I got into my adult life, in my working life, I really struggled with scarcity mentality. Here's what I wish somebody would have taught me. When you live with limited resources and you have a scarcity heart, you got to be really careful because you need things and you don't have enough. You don't have enough for everything. And you live with a when-then kind of a mentality. I believed that I had sort of a realistic excuse to not use my limited resources in the way that honored God. Because I was limited in my resources, I had an excuse to sort of put that all on hold. I really don't need to think about my limited resources in ways that honor God, in the way that really describe a heart of generosity. And what I didn't know, but I know now as an adult, is that there's never a point in your life when you really don't live with limited resources. Like in 5 years from now, most of you guys are going to be making $50,000. Okay, let's just say. And you think of that like, well, I'm $50,000. You can't even imagine that much. What I'm telling you is that when you make $50,000, you're probably going to buy a better bed. You're probably going to look at maybe a house someday. You're probably going to upgrade your car. My point is that at every stage in our life, we live with a when-then kind of thing. We always have limited resources because the more we have, the more we can consume, and the more we consume, the more we need, right? So if I'm developing in my heart now a when-then as I'm barely making it by on very limited resources, guess what? It doesn't get any easier when you're making 50 grand or $100,000 a year. It actually gets harder. I wish somebody would have told me, Bill, learn to honor God with $5 Because someday you're going to make $50,000. And when you make $50,000, that's really difficult, really difficult. So that's a scarcity heart. And what I found in my marriage, in my life, going into this, I got this job, I started making regular income, I bought a house. And then I would pay the mortgage, pay the electric, pay all the adult kind of things. And at the end of the month, I'd be like, oh my gosh, we got five more days, and I only got this much in my account. I can't be generous in any way because, you know, I gotta eat. And I found myself living in that sense of scarcity and very randomly actually honoring God with my resources. So that's a scarcity heart. What an abundant heart. There's also an abundant heart. An abundant heart is like, it's not my life of storing and guarding, keeping, protecting, acquiring. But an abundance heart first starts with, God owns everything. Everything I have is God's. And I have to train my brain to actually believe it. He owns everything. My God is fundamentally good. He's providing me with enough. I don't live scarcely. I live in an abundance. I always live in a sense of enough. And I have more than enough. And God can be trusted. And God's given me these resources so that I can be generous and receive the joy in being generous. And having the freedom of being generous. And looking for needs. As I live in a scarcity heart, I don't look for people's needs. But when I live in an abundance heart, I'm like, wait a minute, I see people's needs. And I can be creative in that. So Vanita helped me grow into this more than anybody else. She, I think, had a clearer understanding of how to honor God with our resources than I did. And she was committed to setting aside a portion of her resources. And so, you know, eventually in our married life, I caught up to her. And so now I'll just tell you, I'm not doing this to brag. I'm just saying this is how it works for me. I get paid on the 25th of every month. And on the 26th, I set aside my tithe. And we do a variety of things. I tithe to this place, and I tithe to some other things that I think are important, but they're meant for the purposes of God and the goodness of others. And I do it in the very beginning of the month. And then whatever we have, you know, we manage our resources and we live off of what's left. But what I've noticed in doing that is that I have this sense of like, Lord, I'm in. I got skin in the game. I really do trust you. I actually trust you to provide for me and my family. And there's a joy in that. And there's a joy in living responsibly in that, where if something happens and I can meet the need of someone else, I'm like, okay, let's do this. And honey, we talk about it. We're like, let's do this. Let's be generous in this way. The joy of a heart of abundance. And I just want to just sort of put that out there for you, because I missed out when I was in college. I thought that in my zone of having limited resources, I'm like, you know what? I'll take this seriously when I'm, you know, regular income, bigger income. And I don't want you to miss out on that. Here's the deal, guys. You got to figure it out for yourself. Nobody is going to tell you how to do this. Nobody is going to make you do this. And interesting enough, the Bible doesn't actually say, here's the way to do it. If you look at Scripture, and I know I'm skipping around, okay, so follow me on this. But in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, Paul says this. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's my prayer for you guys, is that you look at your resources and like, Lord, help me not to see these as mine, but they're actually yours. And I want to set aside something on the front end of my resources to honor you and to be a blessing to others. One quick story and I'll be done. We have a friend who is in the grocery store line, and the people in front of him could not pay their groceries. And so he offers to pay this family's groceries, and it's a couple hundred dollars. And so after they pay for the groceries, they're now like on their way kind of out to the parking lot, and they're talking. And this person realizes that this couple is really, really struggling. He gets to know them, and he ends up, in the course of this conversation, he invites this woman to live with him with their little daughter. So his act of generosity created this moment where they lived. And in the course of living with this guy and his wife, The mom and the daughter are well cared for. The mom gets off drugs. Now, the boy in the equation, the father does not live with him. He doesn't get off drugs, and he moves on in life. But this mom gets off drugs. She gets clean. She gets stability. She gets a job. She gets her own place. And this girl then now has, and I think it was close to a year of time when they lived together, that stability. You just never know when you act in generosity to others how God can continue to multiply what you have done. And that's my prayer for you. I hope that inspires you to just really pray through this part of your life. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. All right, gracious Lord, we know that you love us enough to tell us the truth, that our resources are one of the best mirrors of our heart. Lord, we confess to you how we live often with a scarcity mindset. We just simply don't have enough, and so whatever we do have, we've got to guard, protect, store. But you're not calling us to store, you're calling us to pour, our lives out into others. So Lord, do work in this area. Do work in this area. Help us to live by faith and trust that you're going to provide for us even when we can't see it. And Lord, help us to be generous and help us to see the joy of using our resources for the benefit of others, for the benefit of your local church. We pray this in your great name. Lord, we also pray for Jeff and Beth as they are using their resources to build this house. And today, Lord, in Community Service Sunday, we're going to care for them as we renovate this house. Lord, we pray that this house would be a safe place for people to recover from addiction. And so, Lord, we're praying for a stable, kind, very loving couple to live in this house, to mentor those who are recovering. We're praying for that person. Lord, we're praying for those who need help in their addiction, to want help. Lord, we pray for our other job today. We pray for the Friendship Home. We pray for Rainey and this crew of staff people who are doing great work every day of the week for people who are in really dark places, recovering, fleeing from domestic violence. Lord, their lives are surrounded by people in despair. Lord, as we spread bark chips and as we care for their property, we pray that we extend an act of kindness to Rainey and to the people on her staff, that they know that we believe in their work, that their work is important, and we want to use our strength to offer kindness and just make their property someplace that's beautiful for those women, mostly women and children, who come there at dark, dark times in their life. So just bless us, Lord, as we go about that work. We pray this in your name, your great name, as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Okay, we're going to have some announcements. Those of you who are watching online, you're welcome to stay with our announcements. Community Service Sunday is the first Sunday of every month, and worship is super short because we're going to eat, and then we're going to go to the work site and do community service. So, all right, I made lunch. I tried my best. You're not going to get sick. It's a beef stroganoff kind of thing. We have enough for everybody, so please stay. And I will tell you the meatballs are exceptional. So please stay for lunch. If you can't stay and work, great. Please stay for lunch. Social media slide, that's how you know what we're up to. So please check us out on social media. There's the donate. If you'd like to make your donation to the chapel and you do it electronically, that's how I do it, through the donate button on our website. Bible huddles on Wednesday night, 8:30. We're looking at the book of Genesis, and this week we're in Genesis 12. And we're taking, how does Jesus fulfill every chapter of the Bible? And so it's really been cool to see Jesus in Genesis. So please come at 8:30 on Wednesday night. Conversation partners, Marky Meyer right there, say hi. If you'd like to talk an hour a week with somebody from around the world, help them with their English, see Marky Meyer. We go a lot of prayer walks, so please let me know. The best part of my day is being able to walk and pray for you. So please let me know. I'll meet you on campus and we'll walk. Yeah, we're still needing volunteers for the back booth. And if you'd like to help out in worship, if you play or sing, see one of the worship band members and give them your email. I'm one of the disciplers, and we have a team of them, and we want to invest in you. If you would like to be mentored, we want to mentor you. And so please let us know. It's an hour a week. We meet with you, and we really get into God's Word together, and we have a system of how we want to mentor you so that eventually you could mentor another student. All right? Chapel study space. More and more of you are studying here throughout the week, and so please come and find a place to study. We have great Wi-Fi. Yeah, so next Sunday, I'm interviewing Emily Belverly, and she's part of this Mission in Christ network. And basically, they send recent graduates all over the world in all kinds of ways for mission work. And I just want you to know that these kinds of things are out there. So I'm going to interview her next Sunday, and so it's a great way for you to learn more about maybe God's calling you in that way, or maybe you're interested in helping financially support somebody who's doing it, okay? So that's next Sunday. I'm going there. So here's our projects. We'll figure out how many people are actually able to work, and then we'll divide up the two projects. I've mentioned them in the prayers. One is a house that's going to be used for people who are recovering from addiction, and the other one is called the Friendship Home. When we get to the Friendship Home, we're going to sign a release because it's a property that's meant to be secret. So we'll have some paperwork to do, and then we'll get to work. We're going to be spreading bark chips. Michael Dixon is not happening. He was the guy that we were going to help, but he didn't get a dumpster. So there's my contact information. If you'd like to get a hold of me, please put it in your phone. I'd love that. And, oh, one last really important announcement. So this Friday, 7 o'clock, in this room, we're going to have pickleball. We're going to have pumpkin decorating and popcorn, and we're going to wear masks so it'll be safe. And so just come. We're going to be doing some hanging out time this Friday, 7 o'clock, in this room. So please come. Any other announcements from you guys? So it's Mona's birthday and mine. Mona's birthday is, and Zach? On Tuesday. So there's three of us. And so we have cake, and it's fully cooked, even though it looks a little sloppy. I just do not have baking ability, so no, don't be making fun of me. So it looks like it was a cake put into a blender. Sorry about that, but it's definitely not going to make you sick. So let's sing happy birthday to Miss Mona and Zach and me. Yeah. So let's stand for the blessing in our closing song. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.